Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Buckhorn.
Wow, that would be a little weird. I got word from someone that this is a gimmick now, apparently, that you mispronounce words and we're just wrong on all these community names.
Well, if Buckhorn is actually Buchorna, I'm sorry. But it is damn sure spelled Buckhorn.
We're not purposely doing this, but like these people were so like they're ornery, I guess. The main culprit is Lee Battle.
They got a toothbrush and no teeth.
Lee Battle is the one behind all this.
What?
Yes. I get messages from him all the time about how we're just butchering these community names in the Delta specifically.
Lee Patel is doing that to us?
I know. Lee Patel is just a pain in my rear.
I can't believe that Lee Patel would do such a thing. I always thought he was my friend.
I mean, if you have a problem with this Lee Battalli, you come up here and say it to our face.
Battalli.
I'm about sick of this.
And that the E is not silent.
And then the other day, he had the audacity.
And the audacity.
And the audacity.
What did he say?
To say that it was a much better episode without me on it.
Well, I will give him just the tiniest bit of leeway. On the show, I said, if you like a podcast with no Falcon commentary, he was just trying to make a joke off of my joke. But it didn't come across as insensitive.
That explains that, because I had people say the word falking to me.
Yeah, I said
like four or five times the last 2 days. I was like,
there's no falking commentary on this show because you weren't on.
Oh, okay.
You only said four words on that show.
It would be a little weird.
That's six words.
There you go.
Six words on that show.
We're not good at math either. Pronunciations?
No.
Math?
No.
Pretty much everything we're not good at.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy
I went by Brupolo the other day. I was in Tupelo coming back from
Nashville.
That would
be a little weird.
And I almost took a picture, but I was trying to be safe while I was driving. But
you should have stopped.
I should have, but we were...
Taking a picture of yourself and be like, it'd be a little weird if Robbie Falk was at Brupolo. That's marketing gold right there.
Viral. I was not thinking on the fly. That's my fault. Right. Next time, I'll try to do that.
Next time, anything you have an idea, run it by me. Just whatever comes in your head. Hey, I think I'm going to make a sandwich. Let me text Hey Dad real quick.
But your idea would be no mayonnaise. And
yeah, it would be no mayonnaise.
Like, I want mayonnaise.
Well, you know what? You don't have to tell me that part.
Okay.
All right.
So the sandwich, I can deal with the sandwich.
The details you can handle. Give me the big picture stuff.
Okay.
StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com.
Yes.
Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Guys, Pip Printing and Signs is different than all the other businesses that we talk about here on Thunder and Lightning, you know, because I tell you to go to Strange Brew Coffee House. It's something that everybody can do. Everybody can go to a restaurant, Tyler. Everybody can go to Two Brothers. Everybody can, you know, even the Beef Council, you can buy a steak. You know, Pip Printing and Signs, very specialized content. It's for business owners, for people in business. But that's a lot of y'all out there, you know, and here in Mississippi, if you're looking for printing and you're already spending money on printing and you're a Mississippi State fan, Pip Printing and Signs provides a tremendous opportunity for you to become a Bulldog Initiative business by just paying your printing bill each month. It's just that simple. So give Cam Baker a call today, not only to help out the Bulldog Initiative, but to help your own business out, because you're going to get the expertise and the power of Pitt Printing and Signs behind you. 601-499-5216. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, that you are looking for. We seem to have, you know what, maybe we'll talk about this a little later in the show. I know that we have our fans, our listeners, our dedicated Thunder and Lightning people. Mm-hmm. They love when we go on a rant about uniforms. Maybe we'll do that a little later. But you need to get new gear. Script State, Interlocking, MRS, Walking Bully, doesn't matter. As long as it's not that banner. The banner's got to go.
Way too much banner.
The first step into changing is getting rid of the old. So do that now with a trip to College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. I'll get there eventually. Followed by the Half Shell. We'll shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, is the place to find the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, or for Sunday brunch. Where'd you do Sunday brunch today?
Restaurant Tyler.
There you go.
I had the catfish, of course.
Yes.
They had today that the special was fried green tomato eggs Benedict.
Oh.
So Becky had that.
Yeah.
Fried green tomato, eggs Benedict,
mm-hmm.
Boudin balls.
Oh, yeah.
And crawfish sauce.
Yeah.
Looked delicious.
That sounds like a great meal.
I didn't dare put my fork on that plate because I didn't want to get stabbed.
Get off me! I'm starving!
Exactly. So I stuck to my plate, which was very good in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Fried catfish.
So you went more lunchy.
Yeah.
And she went more breakfasty.
Well, our church for the summer changed from 8:30 service or 11 to just one service at 10. Mm-hmm. So I actually really enjoy that. I get done at 11.
Yeah.
I talked to my preacher today. I was like,
"Need to keep this.
You're really good at getting us out on time and getting ahead of the Methodist." And I said, when I tell Methodists that, they don't think that's they don't like that. They don't like that joke. But it's true. I like getting out at 11. But anyway, I've been teetering. Do I want to get brunch at this time during the summer? Do I want to get brunch or do I want lunch?
Yeah.
And today I was just like, I have a hankering for catfish.
Do I need to tell a Baptist joke to balance this out? I'm not Methodist myself, but I can take up for the Methodists.
You might as well.
All right. What's the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist?
The Methodists are okay with people knowing that they drink.
Oh, I was going to go there. Yeah, it's like a Methodist will speak to you at the liquor store.
Yeah, there you go.
So. I love that joke. It's a good joke.
My parents do not adhere to that joke.
No, they don't. No. That's fine. Anyway,
I've heard that joke.
It's a great joke, yeah.
And I've seen that in practice, too, from some people.
You want to make a Baptist minister's head explode, just tell him, hey, I'll bet you two vodka tonics I can get you to dance.
Some of my family members got thrown out of the church in the early 1900s for dancing.
They were excommunicated.
Yep.
I hear you. I believe it. So, well, we say all that to him and talk about a delicious brunch at Restaurant Tyler that Robbie enjoyed today.
We don't follow the rules.
What a start to this week. This is the first week of camp. What a start.
Us folks, we don't follow the rules.
No, you're rule breakers. And heartbreakers as well.
Yeah.
Priority One Bank.
We're getting there. We're almost there.
We're almost there. We're almost done.
Somebody has skipped through this 10 times. Like, what the heck? They're still
Anybody
going?
Anybody who complains about ads, there's a fast forward button right there. You don't have to listen to a single word of them.
GJ's SSK24.
Yeah.
Whatever your name is.
Yeah. So anyway, 16 Priority One Bank locations. You know it by now. That's the website, PriorityOneBank.com. Shows you all the locations. Plus, it shows you all of the great ways they can help you manage your money at Priority One Bank. If you think Priority One Bank is just a small-town bank, just checking and savings accounts, you could not be more wrong. They've got all the financial power of the big banks, but they offer you that small-town service that you're lacking at the other banks. Give them a call today. Talk to the people there. Get to know them. Form a bond with your community bank, Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right, that was a long...
All right.
We only have to talk for like 20 minutes now because we just did a 9-minute ad break.
It's like the SEC coaches getting up there and like...
We just filibustered.
It's 100%
this was us,
filibuster.
This was us. This was our version of Hugh Freeze 2017 where he just reeled off the whole depth chart because he didn't want anybody to ask him about whores.
Yep. Well, oh gosh. I didn't know you were going to drop that. But
Well, I mean, what else were they going to ask me?
All right, guys. So, any questions?
Long snappers, yeah. Need Chuck Roundsville to walk in here right now.
Like most of those coaches have no intention of doing that until they realize, I don't want to answer questions from Touchdown Alabama
mm-hmm.
and people like that. So, mm-hmm. Saturday down south.
Mm-hmm.
But
Super anyways. Talk Mississippi.
Yeah. We are not going in there. You get them to the side.
I have never asked a question in the big room. I have asked questions in the electronic media room.
I did, like, the first year I went, I asked one because I was like, I'm supposed to ask a question. Like, mm-hmm. But then I found out
there was this other thing that you can just go to. Yeah.
Everyone asking questions are from places mostly that they can't get credentials, and they're trying to impress people by standing up and asking questions mm-hmm. about, you know, Oklahoma and Texas and stuff like that. It has nothing to do with mm-hmm. Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And we'd already asked Jeff Levy all that stuff. So
this is camp starts this week. Starts on, is it August 1st? August 1st.
Thursday?
So I guess they're going to report probably Wednesday. And then practice start on the 1st. We have not been made of any
assistant coaches this week.
I was just about to say that. We have not been made of any media availability or access to practice as of yet. However, we got an email yesterday that the one and only time we're going to get to talk to assistant coaches, and that is that's a Nick Saban thing. Kiffin does it. Now Lebby's bringing it here. And that's going to be Tuesday. So Tuesday, we get to talk to literally every assistant coach on the staff for 10 minutes. So there'll be a lot of rapid-fire content there.
I'm a little surprised by that with Lebby because he was made available after every game at Oklahoma.
Maybe he didn't like it.
Well, I mean, could be, but I feel like he would have had a say-so in that. Hey, I don't want to talk.
I don't know. I mean, if the head coach says, hey, you got to go out there.
I always thought that was interesting, though.
Maybe part of that is, and it would make the question, like, why isn't Hutzler available? But, like, Venables, if they wanted to ask a question about the offense, what is Venables going to say? He's not doing that. Yeah. So maybe he's like, you go out there and handle that. Whereas here, you know, but Hutzler's not going to be available apparently either. So,
which, you know, I don't like that, but I get it. It's, you know, that's Lebby's priority to keep his coaches mm-hmm. locked in or whatever, and doesn't want to, you know, kind of protect them, I guess, too.
Right.
But, I wish we could talk to them a little more. We don't have to talk to position coaches all that much, but I would like to know about the defense throughout the year, if possible. But I guess we'll have to get the Lebby for that.
Right. So, that being said, camp starting on Thursday. I was asked this question on Sports Talk Mississippi, and I'm going to bring it here now because my answer was kind of, I don't know if it was a bad answer, but I was just basically like, nothing I can think of. So I want to see if you have another idea here, but I was asked, what can we learn about Mississippi State from camp?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, and you brought this up prior to the show, that we don't know what kind of access we're going to have. So if we can't watch any practices, there's not a lot we can learn, right?
I'm guessing very little.
Very, very little. But let's just make the assumption that we can see some practices here. What can we hope to learn over the next few weeks?
For me, I think we're just about settled on the offensive side of the ball and who's playing where. You know, I can just about name you the entire starting lineup on the offensive side. I think that's a group that's going to be pretty well set. I want to see what's going on defense. What can we learn there? Who's winning battles? What your depth chart looks like on that side of the ball? Who's standing out? Are they really struggling to get stops against State's offense, which in the spring, all indications, especially in the little that we saw, the defense was kind of holding its own a little bit. I don't know if it was just the offense was behind or the defense was kind of playing over its head a little bit, or at least what expectations are of that defense. I would love to know what is transpiring on that side of the ball in the fall, because there is a lot of question marks there, and there are a lot of players that we're probably not talking about right now that are going to factor in on the defensive side of the ball. I would like to have an idea of, you know, what to expect there. So we could definitely learn how position battles are going. There's going to be a lot of competition at defensive back, it feels like. There's some guys on the defensive line. I want to see if, you know, Calvin Dinkins is healthy. What kind of jump is Travion Williams making after his injury? Can he be a guy that lives up to his potential at least a little bit this year, and you start to see flashes of that? What's the linebacker group look like? So there's a lot of stuff on defense that I would be watching immediately, you know, if I was able to get out there and watch some practices and just kind of see who's made a jump even from the spring. I mean, yeah. And there's a lot of freshmen and newcomers that weren't here for the spring. How are they adjusting to this level? There's a lot of things that we could learn. So, you know, we'll see if we're able to kind of glean that. But if not, those are going to be questions that we ask players and Jeff Lebby during the whole training camp availability that we get is who's standing out? Who, you know, how is so-and-so able to handle the first few weeks of practice, things like that.
I think that one thing that I'm interested in, and this is something that, you know, I guess Bumpus can't tell us a whole lot on Tuesday about it, but I have an idea of who's going to be the starting wide receivers, at least two of them. Like, I feel really confident that Kevin Coleman and Kelly Akari will start, right? Mm-hmm. The third receiver, I don't feel confident in making that prediction. And I certainly just don't have a good feel about the rotation. Same can be said for the running backs as well. So that's maybe something else we can gain from these practices is just to get an idea of, you know, what's the rotation like? Is it a true committee backfield? Or is there one guy who's kind of standing out and everybody else is going to spell him? Who's that third receiver? Who are the fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers? Are we going to see receivers not locked into positions? And that's something, you know, that Leach was very famous for. We talked about it all the time with Tulu Griffin. And then last year, even Bumpus said it a couple of times where he was talking about Creed Whittemore and Tulu. He's like, well, they play the same position. Can you find a way to just get their three best guys on the field? And I'm hopeful that that is the case. So offensively, if you said, what are your questions? Those are the two that stand out to me. If you had an offensive question, what would it be, Robbie?
Offensive line, what's the cohesiveness there with that group? You have a new starter at every position. Albert Reese is your most experienced offensive lineman right now, right, on this team. I mean, that's a guy that started in one or two games last year. Mostly was a backup. And now you're asking him to be kind of one of the leaders, if not the leader of the group, as a first-time, you know, full-time starting lineman. Everybody else is brand new. They've done good things at other schools. All those guys have. You know, McCollum Pounders is really good at Memphis, and we know what Ethan Miner did at North Texas, and Jacoby Jackson? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was really good at Texas Tech. You know, Martinez was basically like a swing guy for LSU. They've all done some good things, mm-hmm. but not together.
Right.
So until they get out there and play as a unit, I won't know. That's a big question mark for me because as that group goes, the offense is going to go. If your offensive line is no good, you don't have an offense.
Right.
So it's really important. I like the pieces that they added, but until they actually get out there and play together, I don't know what this offense is going to be. We feel good about it, but it kind of hinges on that group.
Defensively, my questions are going to be kind of formational. You know, we don't really know what Coleman Hutzler wants to do. You know, what is his base formation? Everybody, you can be multiple. You can use that word all you want, but you have a formation that's your calling card. Is that 4-3? Is it 3-4, 3-3-5, 4-2-5? We don't know the answer to that. And so when I talk about I can't really fill out the depth chart for Mississippi State, that's part of it because I don't really know how they're going to line up. If they're going to have three linebackers on the field, if they're going to only have two, if they're going to have four defensive linemen, are they going to put three on the linemen and then another guy maybe who has his hand in the ground sometimes and not? So I'm hopeful that Tuesday that might be a question that we can get a little bit of insight. Like if I said, what is your base form? That might be a question I need to ask.
Yeah, because he's been so many different places. Like, I don't know what his true philosophy is. You know, I feel like if he's taking, we've heard that he's taking some of Alabama, you're probably going to see a lot of 3-4 base defense. You're probably going to see, you know, every now and then, you're going to see a linebacker come up to line of scrimmage and, you know, play in that role. And got kind of a similar base, I think, what Alabama has, just based on what I've heard. But I don't know that for sure because we haven't really been able to dig into his defense and really look at, you know, what he's setting up. But, it, you know, is it Nick Saban that he's drawing from the most for his defensive style is it, you know, Will Muschamp, like what, where is he coming from here? So that, yeah, that's something that I wanted to know about too. And we talked to Coleman Hutzler, what is your philosophy? What is your base scheme? What is this defense going to be known for? Yeah. Because I don't think it's going to be as cut and dry as Zach Arnett, where Zach Arnett was a total disciple of the 3-3-5, and that was what he ran. I don't know if it's going to be that. I do think it's going to be multiple, which is a bad word for a lot of people. They don't want to hear multiple. They want to hear that you are locked in on something. But I do think he's going to provide a few different looks. I'm just interested, like you, to know what is the base? What is this defense? Where is it all center? So we'll see. I have a feeling it's probably going to be more three down front with a linebacker that can play basically like another end, like a rush end or something like that. Because I have talked to some people and some players here and there about, you know, where they're lining up and what things are looking like. And you're seeing defensive ends that are lining up at linebacker, playing more, you know, stand up defensive end type looks than your traditional, like, fingers in the ground, pinning your ears back, getting after the quarterback. So, yeah, I'm interested in that as well.
One other question, kind of maybe a little off the radar, but who's the punter?
Yeah,
The
whole kicking game.
I feel pretty really good at kicker, right? Ferry and Barmira will be all right.
You got to think that Ferry is going to be the kicker.
Ferry or Barmira, one of the two. Both those guys can kick. I'm fine there. Is Pulliam going to be the punter?
Well, I would expect either Barmira or Zach Haynes. But I don't think it's a situation where, like, I'm concerned about it. I don't think they have options. I just don't know because they do have options. I don't think Pulliam factors in right away.
Right.
They have two really good options, I think, in Zach Haynes and Barmira, who punted some at UCLA, too. He's capable of punting. And you know that he can be a really good, steady kickoff specialist for you. That's a guy that he proved that last year. When he did get healthy, your kicking game changed as far as your kickoffs are concerned.
Yeah.
You were a much different-looking team. So I think that they should be pretty well set at kickoff specialist and place kicker. I'm interested in that too. Who's your punter? Because I think they have two good quality options there. If Barmira is going to be in that position too.
Yeah.
Whoops. I dropped one of your little things here. Sorry.
What was it?
It has to do with this the little plug-in.
Oh.
I like to mess with things. You've seen that before. Like,
yeah,
you got
a little OCD going there. It's fine.
Yeah, I got sticky fingers. I'm not like the sticky finger bandits, the Home Alone or whatever.
They were the wet bandits.
Wet bandits, whatever. Yeah. Sticky fingers
was a Rolling Stones tribute band that used to come through here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, it basically, like, I think it means, like, you steal things.
I know what it means, yeah.
That's me.
But you don't actually steal them. You just like to rearrange
them. Yeah, I did steal some peppermints from I'm trying to
your daughter
figure out a good way to say this.
Could.
The veteran leadership in our church, the older people.
The elders.
I didn't want to be too loud on or too negative on that. But I went to their community group, their Sunday school class, and went and grabbed a few peppermints. I couldn't find any in the entire church.
That's fine. I don't think that's fine. Those are out
I
there
asked them if it was okay if
oh,
I
they
stole.
Didn't steal them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your daughter would steal peppermint if she could.
Oh, yeah, your cat?
My cat peppermint, yeah.
My daughter would steal every cat
she loves
and
our
dog
cats.
In the world.
She got to hold a guinea pig today.
She did.
So, also, another question, though. Return game? Like, that's interesting to me. I think Kevin Coleman plays a role there. I think Mario Craver has a role to play there.
Really? What about, you know, Kelly Akari?
Could.
I mean.
Or J.J. Harrell? If you don't want to redshirt J.J. Harrell, putting him in the return game might be an idea.
I like the thought of putting your best players on the field for that. I know that's a sore subject for some people that don't want, you know, a running back or a wide receiver taking another hit. But to me, I'm always of the opinion like
a hit's a hit. It could have happened on a run. It could happen on a return.
You know, Kelly Akari could trip coming out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
God forbid, and tear his ACL or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't just get the ball in their
walking
hands.
Down the street to walk your doggy.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the
no, I don't either
with some of your best athletes get on the field. That just increases the odds of you making a bigger play. That,
agreed.
It feels like Kevin Coleman is your best bet there.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't mind seeing.
I think Craver has a role to play there.
I wouldn't mind seeing Craver back there. I mean, if that's where you want him to cut his teeth this year, if you think it might be a little too early, or he can't quite get on the field at wide receiver, that's too good of a weapon to redshirt this year, I think. I think that's a guy that can help you right away like Tulu did.
I agree. I agree with that. I think that, you know, and you remember his first year, Tulu, they didn't really use him in the return game until the bowl.
Late.
And they had the bowl game where he was just unstoppable. And
he had the
we
return.
Just kept looking around going, why did this guy not return every kick?
Yeah. He had my name Missouri or something late in the year.
Yeah.
Or Ole Miss, or I forget.
It wasn't Ole Miss. It was like Missouri.
It was a game like later in the year where he had a big return. Like, why have they not been playing him?
Yeah. So that's something I always coaches do that, like, oh, he's not ready, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can find a package.
Yeah.
You can find three or four plays within the offense.
I mean, we spent 4 years, like, talking about how they were just mismanaging Tulu.
Yeah.
And, like, last year I felt like they tried to force it.
Yeah, it was too much.
It's like they had a certain amount of, like, catches or carries that they told him that they had to get.
Sort of, you budgeted it almost.
Yeah.
Like the way you would do a video game, like, all right, I got to give this guy, and I'm going
to
do
like
this.
Like, we promised this guy, if he came back and didn't transfer to Ole Miss, that this was going to happen.
He had, like, 7 catches and 3 carries and a couple, yeah.
And he goes in motion for a jet sweep, and everybody in the entire stadium goes, well, Tulu's getting the ball here, and he gets
smoked.
They never
pulled a jet sweep and thrown a pass, been wide open.
Exactly.
But it is what it is.
Well, we know more than
We went into that thinking we didn't have a lot we could ask, but we've ended up with quite a bit there. So
yeah,
maybe we can learn something this. But as you said earlier, it depends on the access that we're allowed to have.
I'm looking forward to talking to the coaches because even if they haven't been practicing for the last few months, mm-hmm. they've seen them working out. The workouts I've heard have been really intense, and I'm not even speaking in a, hey, the new strength coach is
right.
the best I've ever had type deal that happens every single time. But it has seemed to me from people I've talked to that this has been a really good summer for Mississippi State players in the weight room and conditioning and all that. I want to know who's standing out. Who were some of the guys that were really impressive? You know, Kelly Jones, I hear, was really good. Sadu Traore was really impressive. So I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit of that from these assistants coming up and kind of their early thoughts on their team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to talk to these coaches on Tuesday. I'll say it, though. I'll say it once. I say it all the time. If you're going to do access, either give me access or don't give me access. Don't
yep.
don't middle ground me on this. Don't tell me we can be there for 20 minutes. Just say you can come out for practice or you're not allowed to come to practice. I don't want to deal with the other stuff.
I don't want to go out there and get a 20-minute period of them stretching
right.
or doing the drills.
Right.
Like, let us see a team
yeah.
practice. Like, let's see a little bit of a scrimmage.
All right. We'll see if it happens. We'll see. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. And it is what's for dinner. And it is should be what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend coming up, you know, it's one of the, you know, we're getting close to the start of football season. That's a whole new kind of cooking out. That's the thing. It's always grilling season. There's never a time of the year where firing up the grill is a bad idea. So head to your local meat markets. Check out all the great stuff. I mean, just here in Starville at Kroger. I know for a fact that you can get every cut of steak you want. You can get whatever roast you want to get. They have beef ribs. They have briskets out there. They've had tri-tip out there from time to time. And talking about like steak cuts, it's not just ribeye filet strip. You know, you can get a flank steak. You can get a flat iron steak. You can get a skirt steak. You can get all these great cuts and enjoy them and do it on the grill this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for, and you are looking for it. Head to Two Brothers this weekend, any day for an outstanding meal. Fantastic food, fantastic people, the best location, man, right there in the middle of the Cotton District. But if you're in the mood for something else, perhaps you want something a little bit more refined. Perhaps you want to enjoy a fancy sandwich. Well, the place to do that is the Older Brothers, Starkville's newest place to get a great meal. Fantastic place to go. If you haven't been already, I'm just telling you, this football season, you're going to have to get there early. You're going to have to get there early if you want to eat at the Older Brother, because that place is going to be packed. If you went to the old Two Brothers, you know what I'm talking about in terms of it's a small space, but the food is big. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother, two great places to eat here in Starkville. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of taking care of you. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. Then if you need service on that, you just call the same number. It's not a 1-800 number. It's a 601 number. It's not a call center that puts you on hold for 30, 40 minutes. It's just the person who made you the sale. They pick up the phone and they say hello. And you go from there. That's the difference that you get with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192. Or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Before you're at Davis Wade Stadium, you need to swap out that old banner M for a brand new polo. And we're going to help you do it with our promo code THUNDER15. 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. That's available in-store and online. If you're wanting to get a Bulldog Initiative polo, you can only get those at Maroon & Co. They are the exclusive provider, so you can wear the gear that the coaches wear and support Mississippi State Athletics all in one purchase. Again, before you go to Davis Wade this fall, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. So we're going to do this again here with this uniform thing.
Much better ad read there.
Yeah, it was much more succinct.
Yes.
So we're going to do this again here with this uniform thing, huh? We're going to have to go through this again.
I think people, not everybody, but I think some people have misconstrued our whole
our
agenda,
approach
I guess we can say.
Oh, we have an agenda now, okay.
I mean, kind of, but we've made this now because I think you and I are on the same page here about mm-hmm. the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And since we are coming out and saying Mississippi State should make the interlocking their football only logo. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're saying here?
We are saying that.
Okay. That doesn't mean that Brian and I are now fighting against the script state, and we mm-hmm. want the script state to go, and we're changing allegiances or whatever, or we're being hypocritical. What this tells you, and I tried to explain this on Twitter the other day, is we were lied to about this interlocking logo
mm-hmm.
for many years. For
they
many years,
lot.
People told us that Mississippi State did not own this logo. And we all bought it. We all believed it since about 2004. We've believed that this was...
I didn't believe it. I believe that the people saying it believed it. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Like, I never for 1 minute thought that Nike owned a Mississippi
yeah.
State logo.
Yeah, I didn't
I just
either.
Believe that Mississippi State didn't want to use it.
Okay. And so... Then we find out, actually, Mississippi State can still use this logo. Mm-hmm. And then we find out again, okay, we can only use it for 1 year, and it's going to be on apparel, and they're going to do, like, a special game, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now that you've released these jerseys and you've put it out there, there's nothing stopping Mississippi State from using these permanently. Can anybody tell me legally why they can't use these?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, if it's just a situation where you want to use the jersey that you have now or you want to use the logo, whatever, you don't want to confuse people with, then that's just an opinion. There's nothing tangible with that that's preventing you. So that's someone or a group of people that don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've been able to tell, these jerseys are universally popular within this fan base and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in Ole Miss's fan base that say those jerseys are pretty sick. That
yeah.
that logo is Mississippi State football.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I don't understand why they can't just make those jerseys permanent. Because when I look at the jerseys that they released last year that are...
Which at the time...
They look fine compared to what...
What you had.
Yeah.
But then, you, as you said... They rolled out those interlocking, those 98 throwbacks, and it's like, how can you not want that to be your uniform?
I mean, that State looked god-awful on the field in that game.
But they looked great.
But the jerseys and the logo were incredible. And then you got Jackie marching out there pregame. I mean, it was
fantastic.
If the team didn't suck, If the coaching and everything wasn't just god-awful last year, that game would have been incredible. But instead, you know,
and
whatever.
It feels, it's like it's openly hostile towards MSU fans.
We can do this, but we're not doing it.
Yeah, it really is sort of like a parent to a child in some ways.
Yeah.
But the difference is, in this instance, it's the children who pay the bills. You know, when I tell my kids no, it's because I pay the bills, so I get to make those decisions.
Yes.
Why don't the fans get to make these decisions?
We talk about this all the time. You've asked fans now to pay for scholarships with the Bulldog Club, and you have to invest in that to get tickets. Mm-hmm. So on top of that, you pay for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
These are middle class people. Mm-hmm. These are people that make very similar to you and I, but we get to go to games for free.
Right.
These people don't. They're paying for hotel. They're paying for nachos, hot dogs, everything at the game.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, hey, we need you to pay for players so we can keep up with everybody else.
But we're not
gonna what you want, we're not gonna give
this
you.
This thing that we could easily give you. It's not even an issue.
And I wanna also like play devil's advocate here. Most of the fan base wanted the state script.
Yeah.
So
they just wanted
to get
away from the banner.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted.
So in some senses, like, you have been given something that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted the state script. But I just think there's a simple solution to this. You set a precedent here, and I'm sure down the line we'll keep moving the goalpost. Admittedly, there will be something else that we want.
Right.
Like, I totally get that.
But and if you're the ones buying it, you can have...
The simple solution here for me, the argument that you have to have a logo for branding, I'm way past that.
Yeah,
I don't care about the branding part.
There's two points of it. Somebody on the On3 message board made a great point. It's like, look at LSU, right? What is on LSU's football helmet is not their logo. They're not their primary university.
The Tiger?
Yeah, it's the Tiger with LSU over it. Their regular logo is LSU. It's the block lettering. But
and
they
their baseball
logo
is
Their baseball
different.
Logo is totally different.
You know why people know LSU? Because they win.
Because they win. But not
that's
only that,
why that is the branding is not the logo
branding.
To me. And I didn't get a marketing degree. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me either.
But the branding is not the logo to
it's
me. The branding is
it's the program.
You putting yourself on that stage.
The other side of this is
you can't just make a logo and say everybody knows who we are now.
I don't. Branding to me, if you're talking about branding in terms of we want to be nationally recognizable. Who the hell gives a crap what somebody you Mississippi State, unless they become a winning program, is never going to be the program that some guy in Los Angeles just buys a Mississippi State jersey because it looks cool.
Right.
It's just never going to happen. So you need to market to your fans, the people who are buying the bulk of your gear, and when you put logos on there that they don't want, you're intentionally crippling yourself.
And also, you can't tell me that people aren't going to recognize this logo when you're getting exposed more than any other conference in college sports. People, if they're watching, will know who Mississippi State is based on their logo. Maybe not to a certain extent, and then you have to do the heavy lifting on it, but just simply like telling me that someone is not going to notice you doesn't work for me. Like, if some random person tells me that, I just mute that in my head.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that at all. I'm in the thought process of Mississippi State needs to present itself in the best way it possibly can. And I remember the reaction that logo and that jersey got last year when it came out. How many people came out and said, gosh, this reminds me of Mississippi State in the late 90s, those teams that were so
good. Which is what you would want to be remembered for, the glory days of Mississippi State sports.
And there was like one or two bad years in that logo.
Towards the end.
After they, you know.
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do with
the logo. Uniforms still looked good at the time. It just the team wasn't.
My solution is let's put this down in writing. Baseball is going to get the M over S. Basketball, baseball can also use it. Softball can use it. State script.
Yeah.
Or the block state.
The block state.
Football gets the interlocking.
Yeah.
People have multiple logos.
The logo that's on the LSU football helmet is not on their baseball team, and it's not on their basketball team at all.
No.
Alabama doesn't even have a logo on their football helmet.
No. It has a number.
Yeah.
And nobody cares because they win.
Penn State. Plain white helmets.
Yep.
Ohio State, plain silver helmets, then they get stickers on them.
There are
Michigan. What is their helmet?
There's it's not no rules.
Yeah.
Why do people try to make it? People try to make it. You can't do this.
Yes,
you can't do that. Why?
You can do whatever you want.
I don't understand that line of thinking.
Profane. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. This Mississippi State can do and be what it wants to be. Nobody ever questions the M over S.
Right.
Why is that? Why does nobody ever question that? And by the way, that's me too. I don't ever question it either. I believe that should be the baseball logo. But we can do M over S. We can do that Mississippi State in cursive or whatever they used to have. I forget which one it was, but there's been 15 different logos in baseball. Why can't there be the best looking logos on the football helmet or basketball? I don't understand that. So to me, it's just people putting their foot down here and saying we're not going to do this because we want to do this.
Yeah,
and that's completely ignoring your clientele and the people that are paying.
It's very weird.
Salaries and that are paying for that stadium to.
They're paying
to continue
for literally
to run.
Everything at this point.
You don't have an SEC roster without these people, and I haven't talked to the ones making these decisions to even know if this is their line of thinking. So maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's not fair to say that's what they're doing. Maybe they have an idea in the plans. I don't know. But it just seems to me right now that whole interlocking thing is being ignored.
Yeah.
On that part of campus. And maybe they have bigger fish to fry, but it's just a simple thing. Just tell the equipment managers, let's wear these jerseys. I mean,
yeah.
And maybe it's not that simple.
I mean, but it
appears to be.
You know, Adidas is somebody you pay money to produce your uniforms, right?
Yeah.
If you tell them this is what we want, they're going to do it.
And
what are they going to do? Say no?
And there's been an excuse given that it takes
it does not.
Over a year to get jerseys.
Doesn't.
How did they get use those jerseys?
Yeah.
Get them to make a few more.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does not take over a year. It is not.
That is going to go
on the same pile as Nike owns the interlocking.
I just feel like throughout the course of time, that's been Mississippi State's thing, is like, we can't do this. And
yeah.
It's not that it's that you don't want to.
That's a whole other podcast of that mindset.
But that's what you and I have been trying to
push
out there. Like,
you can.
That mindset has got to change.
You can do it. You can do anything you want.
College football wasn't paying players. You can't pay players.
Yeah. And we changed
that. And here we go.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we started that.
We started it. So yeah, there you go.
I don't know. Let's see what they can do.
What do we got this week? We got We got opponent preview.
We got
this
interlocking
week.
On Monday.
Yeah,
we got state script on Tuesday.
Opponent preview this week is technically a bye week, but I think we're good. So we're gonna do Texas. We got Texas this week for opponent preview. We've got SEC preview this week will be Texas as well.
Oh.
So we'll double up on the Longhorns this week.
Can't just do one thing, one show.
Robbie, we are in the podcast business. We have to do 5 podcasts. Why would I take away 15 minutes of one podcast?
Okay.
I
apologize.
What you just said was we can't work harder. Why should we work harder?
I mean, in any other situation, would you say that?
Would I choose to work harder?
Yes.
No.
Exactly.
Under no circumstances. So we'll have all that.
I mean, earlier you were trying to figure out where you're going to move your chair so you could play NCAA football
right.
in your house.
Right. We've also, August 1 is the deadline for MLB draft picks to sign.
Yes.
So we should have the David Mershon news at some point this week.
What a weird saga.
It is really weird.
Have you ever seen a signing play out like this?
It's not a family thing.
And like the family's tweeting about it and stuff. Like
a first rounder who's like, you know, especially with MLB, with the way they do things with the slot value, like you only have so much money to spend. So, yeah, you don't see it very often, but certainly not with an 18th round pick. You think that if I'm the Angels, I'd be like, look, either take the money or don't.
And it's like, it's playing out very publicly.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't know what the deal is, but we will have resolution on it one way or the other.
I feel like we will know, like, in the next day or so.
Yeah, it shouldn't go all the way to the first.
I don't think it will.
So we'll see. So we'll talk about that, maybe a few other things as well. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.